You know, this morning you have an opportunity that's unique and different from a normal Sunday morning. Because this morning we have the apostle to Church of the Word International in the house. And some of you may not know, some of you that have been here more recently, but Apostle Dale is the founder of Church of the Word International, and he founded the church over in Titusville, I don't know, back in the 40s or something. And more recently, in 2006, here in Lancaster. And if there's one thing that I know, is that the Lord has many miracles in my life have come because I have had the one that was an apostle to me. He's not an apostle to the area, but he is an apostle to us in the area that we affect. And so I want you to turn an expectation in the Spirit to receive not only what the Lord would say to you this morning, but expect miracles. Expect that the signs and wonders that follow an apostle will absolutely happen through him. Because see, he can't, in his own, he can't squeeze one out, but he walks in a spiritual authority that the Lord has given him for this house. It's not something he made up on his own, it's something the Lord has given him. So let's turn our expectation over onto completely wide open. And know that it is the Lord. And he has someone in spiritual authority in this house today. And that he will move through him. The Lord will move through him. So let's turn our expectation for that. And let's pray.
Amen.
Father, thank you for sending the apostle here to us again. And thank you, Lord, that you have given him a word and that your anointing on him is strong. We look to you, Father, as our teacher, as the meter of our needs. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless Apostle Dale in every way. Meet every need that he has. Cause a breaking out of finances for him, Lord. Bring forth a greater anointing that he would walk into the miraculous realm in ways in supernatural ways that even he hasn't expected or seen yet. Just completely fulfill him in every way, in Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen. Lord, well, thank you. Let's just get right into the scripture, shall we? If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's 40 years off. It was 1987, August 2nd. And praise the Lord. Feels like the 40s, though. Seems like a long time ago. Boy, congratulations to Gene and Kat. They have a new son. That's amazing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy meaning all one peace completely, not holy as in without sin. He's going to sanctify you completely. And then if we're talking about wholeness or the whole man, he goes on to explain, and I pray God your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body, be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the three elements that the Bible attributes to the makeup of man. Spirit, soul, and body. I even think that it's important that we recognize the order that's here in Paul's writings. You can find the same in other places of the Scriptures. First, spirit. Then soul, then body. We don't spend a lot of time on the makeup of man, but I want to lay this as a foundation for you to hook up with me on some other things that I feel God wants me to share. Primarily, that is that God is a spirit. The Bible tells us God's a spirit. And in that sense, it's the spirit of man that touches that part of God, spirit to spirit. And there's several scriptures we could look at to reinforce that. But here, it's spirit, then soul, then body. We find that psychologists and the man's science has generally divided man into two parts. And for a long time, even theologians have divided man into two parts, soul and body. And whenever they talked about spirit, they thought spirit was a synonym for soul. But it's not. In fact, if just real quickly, I don't want to chase this too far, but if you go to Luke chapter 1, I want you to see something. Luke 1:46, probably because John's here, and worshipers always pull this out of me. See, I'm not a worshiper like John in the sense we're all worshipers, right? Minstrel or psalmist would be what I'd call John. But we can all prophesy too. I know when Bob Hawke's in the room, I start prophesying. It's just like I go sit in his table in his house and start prophesying. It's really strange because that anointing is in his life. So here in Luke 1, verse 46, Mary, mother of Jesus, begins to speak. And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." If you look at that, it's doth, D-O-T-H. It's Old English for does, which is present tense. Say present tense. "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath," H-A-T-H, that's past tense. See, now isn't that interesting? See, even when you worship, worship starts in the spirit. It starts in the spirit, then it comes into the soul. So this is the problem with what I'll call the entertainment problem in the body of Christ. They try to bring you into the, affect the soul first and then get into the spirit. Worship starts in the spirit. And then it'll affect your soul or your emotions or your will. Your spirit is in touch with God. Now, go with me to Book of Galatians. Turn over there or navigate your iPad or whatever you have. I still like to use my Bible, but I'm traveling and it's nice to carry about 10,000 books. Look here in Galatians 4, verse 6. Well, in fact, let's back up to verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4, 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How many of you know you've been adopted? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Happy birthday, Deb. Praise the Lord. We've been adopted as sons into the kingdom of God. And he's talking in this frame of reference to something that was very common in their culture, particularly among the Romans. An adoption would take place and full rights, full privileges would be granted to that person. And this experience, full rights, full privileges, have come to us. In verse 6 then, "And because you're sons," why? Because you're a son. Now ladies, don't let all this dross and drivel from the current media bother you. You're a son too. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all homo sapiens. We're not homos, we're homo sapiens. Just want to clarify that. Some of you look like you're sleeping. I got to joke a little bit to stir you up, poke you with a stick or something, you know. "Because you're sons." Why? "Because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now here, crying is not weeping. Crying is Abba! That's crying. All right? Just get your attention again. Wake you up. There's a loud voice of God.
That's right.
I really want to focus on this. God has a loud voice. God has perfect capability of getting our attention if we listen. Question is never, Never is God speaking. The question is, always, always are you listening? Amen. A lot of times we'll seek the Lord. We'll say, Lord, why don't you speak to me? No. You need to focus on yourself and say, Lord, your servant's here. Your servant listens. Amen. Now, if I go home and my wife's not speaking to me and I'm listening and she's not speaking, I'm pretty quick to find out something's wrong. And generally, something's wrong with me. So I do some repenting until she's speaking again. Amen? But that's a whole other sermon, right? But the problem is not in God speaking. The problem is me listening. Because I'm a son, God sends forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, it's in my heart, crying. That's a loud voice. In fact, you can't have crying without a loud voice. It's not weeping, it's crying. You remember how your granddad used to say, for crying out loud? Well, what did he mean? He meant as loud as he could get. Crying, loud. Say loud voice.
Loud voice.
Yeah, God has a loud voice. Amen. And that voice we need to hear. Go with me to Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's start in verse 8. So then they, Romans 8, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. See, what is man? He's spirit, soul, and body. Flesh, would flesh be in the Spirit, the soul, or the body? It's not a trick question. It's the body. The body. Did you know your body has a voice? Yeah. Your body has a voice. You just skip lunch and your body will start talking to you. Right? You just have to get out of bed 2 hours early, and when that alarm goes off, your body will talk to you. Right? Your body has a voice. Now, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give your mortal bodies, quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now notice the litmus test here. Look back at verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Because you're sons, he sends forth your Spirit, his Spirit, into your heart, crying with a loud voice, Abba, Father. See, the litmus test of being born again is you've got God on the inside of you. God lives in man. God lives in you, right? All right? Now, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of you. He's going to give life to your mortal body. Verse 12, let's keep reading. Therefore, brethren, you're a debtor, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Let me say it another way. You're a debtor not to listen to the voice of the body, to live after the voice of the body. You're not in debt to your body. You don't have to listen anymore. Do you know when your body says, Breyer's ice cream, you don't have to listen to that. Amen. When your body, you know, says double portion of cheese. No, your body has a voice. You don't have to listen to that voice. When you're standing at the counter and your body says supersize it, don't listen to that voice. Right? But it's a real, now some people call it a lust, the lust of the flesh, but it's a pressure, but it's something very real. I joke about it with Breyer's ice cream and things like that, but it's the same voice, but it might be vodka, it might be cocaine, it might be pornography, it might even be jealousy, it might be anger, but it's the same flesh, right? Now, do you understand that when your body says, and I learned this painfully. I learned it sitting in my lazy boy watching football. And I'm sitting there enjoying my Sunday afternoon, and my body said, Breyer's ice cream. It's in the refrigerator. And I had a battle that I've remembered for the rest of my life because I lost that battle. That voice of my flesh said Breyer's ice cream, and the man on the inside said no. But then all of a sudden there I was in the kitchen with a bowl in my hand. I don't even know how I got from the living room to the kitchen, but all of a sudden it happened. I must have been translated. And I lost that battle. And I realized I don't have a weight problem. I have a spirit-led problem. It's that voice that's stronger. All right, we're getting in that. He says, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, things aren't going to work out right. What's it say? For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. See, it's going to kill you. The thing, following your flesh will kill you. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Now underline that. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you mortify the deeds of the body? Through the Spirit. He didn't say with fasting. He didn't say with, what was it, old Martin Luther took a whip and beat himself on the back. Self-denial, abnegation, all these theological words. No, it says through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Now notice here, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's interesting to me, I've talked to theologians all my life and pastors and read systematic theologies, and you know, I can bore the best of you. And you get talking in all these different things, and there's always one argument everybody always wants to talk about in every different denomination, and that is, what's the fruits of salvation? Somebody prays a prayer of salvation. How do I know they're born again? Now, most people, and this is, I'm just going to be frank and honest with you, probably be about 80% of Christendom has it in their systematic theologies that the fruit of salvation is some form of holiness. It'd be some transformation of character, right? And that's good, because I believe in that. But it's just interesting that the Bible doesn't really talk about it. The only specific place the Bible says what's going to be a manifestation directly tied into you being a child of God is right there, what I read to you, that the Spirit of God will dwell inside him and he'll be led by the Spirit. That's the privilege of every child of God. Now here's the point. What Paul just said is, if you live according to the Spirit, you're not going to live according to the flesh. So what's going to happen? You're going to have manifestations of holiness, aren't you? You're going to walk in holiness. But the holiness isn't the manifestation of you being born again. It's the product of you following the Spirit, which is the manifestation of you being born again. Because when you get born again, God puts his Spirit in your heart and with a loud voice cries, Abba, Father. Now, I'm emphasizing all of this not to argue with denominations or anything like that, but to help you get out of some dead-end streets in your life where you've been fighting sin, fighting the flesh, fighting difficulties that are all going to lead you where you don't want to go. And he said, if you keep following them, you're going to die. But he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, very similar to what we read in Galatians. You've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, thank God. But you've received the Spirit of adoption. Isn't that what he said in Galatians 4? You've received the Spirit of adoption whereby, now notice this, whereby we cry, Abba! The sound men are scrambling back there. Abba, Father. So I want you to lay those two verses side by side. See, Galatians 4:6 says, because you're a son of God, the Spirit of God comes into your heart, and it's the Spirit that cries. Very specifically, it says it's the Spirit that cries, Abba, Father. But now, in this verse, it says, wait a minute, now that you've got Christ dwelling in you, the same Jesus, or same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling in you, you're following, you're led by the Spirit, you've received the adoption of sons, you're not into bondage, you're not into fear, and guess what? Now, we cry. Because I'm telling you, right, this is right where it begins to come together, and it's described in this very next verse. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How many times have people come to me and said, you know, I was praying about this thing, and I felt like I was supposed to do this, but I didn't know if that was me or God. Well, you dummy, it was both. Yeah, I sent in McDonald's and I saw this homeless guy walk in, and I felt like the Lord said, give him $20, but I wasn't sure if that was me or God. Well, I know one thing, it wasn't the devil. We can rule him out. And what's wrong with you that it was you? Are you afraid of you? You know, you can come up with a good idea once in a while. Granted, some of them are dumb, but some of them are pretty good. See, the Spirit says, Abba, Father. And in this verse, it says, we say, Abba, Father. Brother, there's an echo. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. In all honesty, God looks at us as sons. He can't tell the difference. He can't tell the difference if it's me preaching or the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I'm preaching out of my spirit and the Spirit of God's in my spirit. And what does it matter anyway? Some of you are going to wake up about 3 o'clock this morning to start shouting.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Why wait? That's right. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Go with me. I want you to see how deep this gets. Go to John 15. Look at verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Now, vine literally means trunk. You know about the only difference between the trunk and the branch is they pick the fruit off the branch. God needs you to get to people. Amen. God needs you to get to people. I'll never forget. I was in Armenia in 93, I think it was, 94. And we'd preached for a month, and we came to this final meeting. They fit in one last meeting before they drug me off to the airport to send me home. And they found this little theater, seated about 500 people, and they put 900 people in it. And seriously, the aisles disappeared. I couldn't move from the pulpit because everybody's sitting on the floors. They were behind me. There was everywhere was people. And when I was done preaching, I'd kind of looked at the clock, and the Lord said, I want you to lay hands on everyone in the room. Now, if you ever laid hands on the sick, one of the things I'm going to tell you, it's just not easy. It's exhausting. And so I'm looking at laying hands on everybody in the room, and I wanted to get out of it, I'm going to be honest with you, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And I ended up obeying Him and doing it, and they literally, I had to body surf. They literally picked me up and moved me around so I could get to everybody. Laid hands on everybody. Finally, when it was all over, and I got taken to the airport and got dumped where I was resting, and I had time to be with the Lord, I asked Him, I said, Lord, why'd you do that? Why is that so important? Why couldn't I just pray in group, you know? And the Lord showed me a verse in the book of Acts where it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And I'm looking at that verse, and I knew I wasn't seeing it. And the Lord said, read it again. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Paul didn't do it. God did it, but he needed Paul's hands. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, son, when you lay hands on people, sometimes that's the only time I get to touch them. I've never forgotten that. Sometimes that's the only time I get to touch them. God wants to use us. We're the fruit-bearing part of the vine. Do you understand that? And if you look at some vine, you can't tell where the vine is and where the trunk is. We abide in Him. He abides in us. What's the difference? He wants us so mixed up with Him. Let's read on. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Boy, remember that. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, he's withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. See, that's living according to the flesh. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I don't think we've really estimated the power of that verse. It doesn't say you'll ask according to the will of God. It doesn't say you'll ask what God wants. It says you'll ask what you will. But that point of asking comes after you've been in a place of abiding. Why? Because when you abide with God long enough, what you will is what He wills. And you can't tell the difference between the two. I mean, I've lived with my wife 33 years now, and when we go to a restaurant, I can look at the menu and I know what she's going to order. And I even laugh because I don't know why she's even looking at it, because I already know what she's going to order. Why is she wasting her time? Is she really thinking she's going to order something else? Of course she's not going to order something else. Bring her the salmon, thank you. Okay, let's get on with the date, the dinner, whatever, right? I know what God wants. I abide with Him. But the thing is that God looks at you and sees the same. He knows what you want because you abide with Him. The Spirit says, Abba, Father, but we say, Abba, Father, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy 28 and we'll start the message. I'm completely serious. You see, when we talk about being led by the Spirit, if you're born again, one of the rights as being adopted into sons is that God will lead you. He promises to lead you. Amen? If this young couple doesn't train their children, they're not parents, they're tyrants. They're worse than infidels, the Bible says. But every parent tutors their children, takes care of their children, leads their children, guides their children. And yet, throughout the body of Christ, people run around saying, I don't know why God doesn't lead me. Well, I wonder if you're His son. Amen? Now, God speaking is not the question, our hearing. And what I found is that we don't know what we're listening to. We're listening to the wrong voice, or listening to the flesh, or we're too busy to hear, or we've got too much other background music going on, we can't hear. Amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass. Is the word maybe in there anywhere?
No.
It's not, is it? It shall come to pass if. Everybody say if.
Yeah.
If is a conditional, isn't it? God has His part, we have a part. If is conditional. What's the condition? If thou shalt hearken. Now hearken is a very old word that simply means listen attentively. That's all it means. Listen attentively. Hearken. If you will listen attentively, diligently, unto the voice, everybody say voice, of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, obedience has rewards. You read through the book of Proverbs, you'll find out obedience has rewards. You'll find out that the psalmists and the writers of Proverbs did not believe that judgment was reserved for the Ancient of Days afterlife, but that there's also an eternal judgment in here and now, and that you could even see the demise of the wicked, see the reward of the wicked, and you could also enjoy the rewards of the obedient, or the rewards of the righteous, or the rewards of the diligent. Just a good casual reading of the book of Proverbs will show you that. But as I've meditated on it, and as you look here in verse 28, verse 1, he's not just talking about obedience to written commandments alone. Don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing out written commandments, right? But I want you to see a little bit more. It's amazing to me how many times I read this in my mind. When it would say, hearken to the voice of the Lord, my mind would insert, obey the Bible. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Obey the Scriptures. Do what's in the Scriptures. Keep His commandments. Read the Bible and do it. That's not what He said. He said, listen, hearken. You want to be prosperous in life, you need to learn to listen. God has promised His children to lead them. And He's promised that if you'll listen, if this shall come to pass, if you'll listen, blessings will overtake you. Have you ever considered in the body of Christ how many people are the ones chasing the blessings? But the Bible says the blessings should be chasing you. We got some things backwards. I remember in the charismatic movement, it became pretty obvious that most of the people were following the signs when the Bible says the signs were supposed to follow you. Right? I mean, that we had it completely turned around. Even today, we try to drum it up as advertising so people will follow the signs, but the Bible says signs should follow you. Amen? You are the advertisement. Glory to God. Well, here, if we'll learn to listen to the voice of the Lord and observe and do His commandments, then God's going to set you up. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. When blessings are no longer difficult to and you don't have to try to obtain them or seek after them or chase them down, when in fact blessings are chasing you down, you're in a different place. You're in a different place. Glory to God. In the last 4 years, I've been meditating on this and walking in this. I'm just be honest. Almost every time I come home and I talk to my wife and I tell her stories, she laughs and says, when are you going to do any real work? Because it's just like ripe cherries off of a tree. They've been chasing me down. Blessings. And I'm like, Lord, let them, you know, I'll just slow down just a little bit. Let them catch up, you know. That's all. Slow down, listen, let them catch up, be blessed, and then continue to obey. Well, I can talk about all this, the voice of the Lord, but I really haven't helped anybody if you're failing to hear. Turn with me for the moment to Kings, 1 Kings. Let's look in chapter 19. Let's look at the prophet Elijah for a minute. Prophet Elijah had gotten himself in trouble. He was zealous, and God was using him. And believe me, I think we all can associate with Elijah. God blesses you and it brings you up a level, and every level God brings you up to is fraught with new tests and challenges. And if you're not careful, God will bless you to a point where you'll start to stumble. And sometimes people's anointings have brought them into places where their character can't sustain them. And that's dangerous. So we got to keep seeking the Lord. Every fresh revelation, don't miss this, every fresh revelation demands a fresh consecration. All right? And Elijah had prayed and shut the heavens, then he prayed and opened the heavens, and then he killed a bunch of prophets of Baal, false prophets, and then he ran under the power of God, and he got into depression, and he says, I want to die. Yeah. I mean, you're still human. And so then he went and he found his cave, and he wanted to hide from the world. He didn't like what was out there. And he lived in this cave. Finally, God went looking for him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah was pretty bitter and probably had a spirit of rejection on him or something because things didn't turn out the way he wanted them to turn out. And he starts complaining to God. He says, I've been really jealous for the prophets of God and for the commandments of God, and all this stuff has been happening, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord speaks to him, verse 11, 1 Kings 19:11. And God says, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, breaking pieces the rocks before the Lord. Doesn't say if it was a hurricane or a hemicane. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Well, you might want to underline that one. Be sure and tell your insurance salesman about this verse. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I think it's good just to underline that and emphasize that. When we talk about the voice of the Lord and we talk about a loud voice saying, Abba, Father, it's not loud physically. God is a spirit. God speaks to your spirit. It's funny, I was listening, someone was talking to me about it when I guess it was Ted Cruz, one of these newscasters a year ago during the election, the primaries, was trying to trip him up, make him look stupid, and asked Ted Cruz, so, God talks to you. You're trying to make him look like a flake or a wacko, you know. Personally, I'm nervous about people that God doesn't talk to. But when God speaks, it's not a physical voice. It's not in the mountain, it's not in the wind, it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the fire, it's not in the physical realm. It's a still small voice in your heart. God speaks. And we need to recognize that. Come with me back to Galatians. Because you've heard this voice, and you continue to hear this voice. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5. You hear this voice every day, the voice of your spirit. What's your spirit say? Here in Galatians 5, and I want to emphasize this because a lot of times we talk about hearing from God as if it's the advanced level for Christianity. No, this is the beginning. He said, if you're a son, God wants to lead you. Well, I thought this was for those prophetic types or those apostolic types, those kinds that have raised the dead and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, being led of the Spirit belongs to every believer. It's promised. If you are a child of God, God wants to lead you by His Spirit. Amen. Let's look here in Galatians chapter 5. Well, I like it. There's so much good here. Let's start with verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now you are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your spirit is the real you. It's the one on the inside. Your body is flesh. I don't mean to be rude, but if we took Kevin and we cut off one of his arms, and we just cut his arm off and fling it over there to the other side of the room, where is Kevin? I mean, for all intents and purposes, Kevin is still here. That's just a hunk of meat over there. Right? Well, we patch him up. We got good medical science. We cut off his other arm and throw it over there. Where is Kevin? Kevin is still here, right? I mean, we can cut off his ears, his beautiful little nose, and his legs, and keep him alive on a machine. Kevin is still here. To take it a bit further, he could be in a coma, laying in a bed, and he's physically not hearing or speaking, but Kevin is still here. Kevin's in here. This is not Kevin. This is hair. Sorry about that. Yeah. The flesh is not you. This is important. If you can get that far, that hunk of meat over there is not Kevin, then why do you think when that hunk of meat says Breyer's ice cream, that's you? That's not you. It's your dumb body. Now, I don't mean to be offensive, but you need to be objective here. The real you is the one on the inside screaming, I don't want that. And if that wasn't a real you, you wouldn't be guilty after you swallowed it. Breyer's ice cream's good or the preaching's good? Yeah. Both. See, the lust of the flesh is at war with the spirit. And literally in the Greek here is the spirit has a lust too. The spirit has a desire. And that desire of the spirit is what we call the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace. Primarily love is one fruit, the others are manifestations. But the real battle then is which way are you going to go? When you're sitting in the Lazy Boy watching the Steelers beat the Redskins, or who is it you like? I forget. It's that minor team. It's the Chiefs, oh dear Lord. Yeah, it's still the Chiefs. You're sitting there watching the Steelers whoop on them, and your flesh wants something. It's that other scratching on the inside that's your spirit. I'm telling you, you experience this every day. What is that scratching? That's the voice of your spirit. Now, that voice of your spirit that'll say no to Breyer's ice cream will also say, don't buy that, it's going to break down. You'll be standing at the counter getting ready to buy something. And on the inside, your spirit, if you'll learn to listen to the spirit, the still small voice on the inside, if you want to be a fulfillment of this Deuteronomy 28, where these blessings will come on you, learn to listen to the still small voice, not just in eating Breyer's ice cream, but in your purchasing, or in what route you're going to take when you get in the car. Amen. A lot of times, success is by avoiding the disaster. Amen. You be in a lot less trouble following the Spirit. I had I want to confirm, really, Pastor Sidney had a real strong introduction this morning, but I want to push on it a little bit. Because on the way over here, the Lord reminded me of a sermon I preached in Sri Lanka to Pradeep's church. I don't know if y'all know Pradeep in Sri Lanka. And when I got up that morning, the Lord said, teach them how to follow their spirit, because if they don't, there's a woman in the congregation that's going to die. You got to teach them, son. I mean, the whole way to the church, I was being pestered by the Holy Ghost that I had to teach this or this woman's going to die. So I taught it, and I told Pradeep. And the next day, because we were teaching the whole week, the next day a woman wanted to testify. She said, last night I went home, and you know, she just lives in a little hut. She had a little tiny wood cook stove, and she had a stack of wood outside the door, kind of underneath an eaves on this little hut in Sri Lanka. And she said, I went out there just to grab a stick to build a fire to make me dinner. And she said she went in there, and she was going to reach her hand in there, and as soon as she picked her hand up, that little scratching down there that says, don't eat Breyer's ice cream, said, don't stick your hand in there. She went and got a flashlight, and she looked in there, and there was a king cobra coiled right on top of her wood paw. But she didn't know why. She didn't see it. She just stopped. Why? Because she'd been instructed in the Word of God that scratching in there is the voice of God. Well, it's her voice. No, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. No, it's her. Is that me or is that the Holy Ghost? Who cares? It's a king cobra sitting on your wood pile. All right? See, but we think we don't hear from God. No, you hear from the Lord every day, all the time. Because your spirit's active in you. And you hear the voice of your flesh. But check in your heart. My boys, you know, all three of them at one point in their life, they all asked the same typical question. Well, how do I know if she's the one? Well, honestly, son, more often than not, you'll know if she's not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Down in your spirit, there'll be that, there'll be that, run. Sometimes it's run, you know. It's very, very difficult to put a vocabulary to things of the Spirit. I don't like calling it a hunch. It's too disrespectful. We're talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit. But it's not so grandiose as a lot of religion has made it. All right, there's a psalm, I believe it's 121, where it says, God says, I want to guide you not like a horse with bit and bridle. I want to guide you with my eye. Glory to God. They're getting a hold of the Holy Ghost down there. I love that. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Lord, bless them. One time in Nyabrus, Siberia, I was preaching, the power of God was so strong, people were falling out under the power all over the sanctuary, and people were being healed. And we went back to this back room, and every night they had dinner for us after the service. That's the Russian tradition. And these ladies would come out from the kitchen and serve you, you know, it was wonderful food. This one time we went back there after the evening meeting, and we were just kind of sitting there, and the ladies didn't come and wait on us. And we sat there and fellowshipped about Jesus for about 30 minutes, and the ladies never came and waited on us. Finally, the pastor said, I wonder where they are. I went back in the kitchen. They were all laying on their face on the floor. They'd had church all by themselves. Well, that's all right. See, your spirit can get in touch with God. Amen? All right, let's go back here to Galatians 5. Verse 16, I want you to see this again. Walk in the Spirit then. So what's that mean? That just simply means make your decisions, take your steps based on what you got down in your spirit. If you don't have peace about a decision, you don't necessarily have to say no to it, but for in the name of Jesus, don't say yes yet. Don't let pressure in the world make you make decisions that your spirit's saying don't. Don't do it. If you're ever under that pressure, just get out of that somehow. I mean, obviously, there are some things that you have to make a decision right now. There's no other alternative. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about decisions of life. Buying a house. You ain't got to buy a house right now. Ain't nothing. Your blessing may be next week and you ain't even seen it. Follow your spirit. All right? And you'll recognize that probably more than one of us in here, me included, you've bought things following the voice of your flesh and put a lot of money in it and wished to God you hadn't. Right? Well, what is that? Well, you just lost a blessing. Right? No, follow the inward witness. Follow the still small voice. Now that still small voice will manifest through the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Now I'm going to just be honest with you. If you're making a decision and you can't sense peace and joy in your spirit, there's probably something wrong. Amen. I've had more than one nervous young man wanting to get married. And I'm sure ladies too. But I know personally, I've counseled more than one young man. Should I marry her? And he's already proposed. She's got a ring on her finger. And he's losing it, you know? Well, what do? You got to bring him back to what's in your spirit. You start thinking about finances and the future, and I'm trapped, and I can't have a sports car, and all those kinds of things, and you'll go nuts. Well, what's in here? What's in your spirit? You've got to learn how to follow that instrumentation of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. Now, if you'll do that, He will guide you in all the affairs of life. And things that you don't think are important become extremely important. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When I'm sitting in this chair watching the Steelers beat... Whoa, we don't have a whole lot of time, do we? Watching the Steelers beat the Chiefs, my flesh says Breyers ice cream. My spirit says no. Walking in the Spirit is simply affirming what my spirit says. Most people at this point want to deny what the flesh says. You will never defeat sin in your life by suppressing it or trying to chase it off. You don't deny the flesh so you can walk in the Spirit. Most people think, if I'm holy enough, I'll come to a place where I can hear from God. Almost every Pentecostal denomination believed this. God ain't going to bless you because you got earrings on. God isn't going to bless you because you cut your hair. God isn't going to bless you because your dress isn't long enough. Come on. As if once you get so holy, you'll get to a place where God will speak to you. But it says exactly the opposite. Walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill the flesh. That tells me something that you got to get a hold of. In your worst place, in your deepest, darkest snare of sin, if you're still a child of God, you can still hear God. I don't care how much the devil's twisted you up, you can still hear from the Lord. I know a man who's preaching the gospel now that gave his life to Jesus when he was a little boy. But when you give your life to Jesus, God don't forget. And he got away from the Lord, and he got out into the world. He got deeply into homosexuality. He got into music and was playing in a gay bar in New Orleans, playing drums. But he had people all over the world praying for him. I'm talking about years had gone by, probably almost 20 years. And sitting there playing the drums in the middle of that lifestyle, every night, he feels guilt. He feels he don't belong. He feels like he's taking a shower with his socks on. Just something isn't right. And sitting there playing the drums, power of God came on him, and he gave and he yielded to that itching on the inside. He yielded to, what is that? It's the voice of the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God in there crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And he yielded. And he just threw his sticks up in the air and said, I'll never play this again the rest of my life. He walked out of the bar, went to Raymond Bible Training Center, and graduated as a preacher. Just walked away. He's out preaching the gospel still today. Follow the Spirit, see? And all that stuff of the flesh, it just gets cut off. But everybody wants to cut all the things of the flesh off so they can walk in the Spirit. No, no, no. Spirit of God's in you. Amen? Well, there's more I'd like to share, but we don't have time. Let's stand up on our feet. I do have to run. I apologize. Keep me in prayer. I'll make a direct request. Keep me in prayer. I'm 3 days in Washington, D.C. tomorrow through Wednesday, meeting some crucial meetings. I'd like the wisdom of God and the favor of God if you pray for that for me. Thursday, I go back to Ukraine. And then 2 weeks from today, I'll be on the front lines. Since the war has began with Russia, they've started 30 churches on the battle line, all through different villages. And a lot of them are to serve and to evangelize the army. And so we're going to take a tour, and we're going to go down the battle line and preach in a bunch of these, not all of them, couldn't reach them all, but we're going to preach in a bunch of these churches. You want to talk about blessings overtaking you? I'm thinking about how can I rent a car and go down the front line, because I found out that you can't rent a car and go towards, you can't be in, it's illegal. You can't be in that area, so I have to buy a car. Well, I don't want to buy a car. Well, I'm thinking about all that, but this is what God did was better, because blessings overtake you. So the second in command of the Canadian embassy said, hey, if I go, I've got a $300,000 armored vehicle, and I'll provide the driver, who is also a security. Can I come? And I told him, I said, well, he's not even a believer. I said, well, you're going to hear a lot of preaching. He says, I can tolerate it. And I said, well, come on. So, amen. So you agree with me that Peter will receive Jesus as the Lord of his life. Amen. It's blessings overtaking you, isn't it? I didn't even ask for it. I never rode in an armored, it's an armored SUV. Glory to God. You almost want somebody to shoot the window to see if it works, you know? Keep my head down, that's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless these people. Father, thank you for this tremendous church, that it blossoms and flourishes in this place. Blossoms and flourishes with evangelism and with the power and the love of God. We thank you, we honor you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, and amen, Pastor.